going to be the next member for Hume, who says we have to roll this back. Now, what the renewable energy target means, and you know this, is that 20% of all our electricity, our energy, has to come from solar or wind.
Yeah.
They are five times dearer than coal-fired power. Are you going to wind back or indeed abolish those renewable energy targets, which would be the most dramatic way of reducing the price of electricity?
Well, not as dramatic as abolishing the carbon tax, but certainly it would make a difference. There's no doubt at all, Alan, that the renewable energy target is significantly increasing the price of power. There is going to be a serious review of this, should there be a change of government. Now, we'll wait for the review before deciding exactly what we do, but I absolutely take your point that renewable energy is increasing the price of power. Obviously, the whole point with renewable energy is when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, the power doesn't flow.
Well, just on that,
you've got to have backup systems.
Just on that, I mean, there are people watching this all around Australia. They're not all in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And there was a poll today in the Sydney Morning Herald which demonstrated that 75% of Liberal voters and 73% of ALP voters are opposed to coal seam gas mining on prime agricultural land. Mm-hmm. That means beautiful places like Gloucester, the Liverpool Plains, the Southern Highlands and New South Wales. When are you going to say this is a no-go zone, that prime agricultural land will not be mined for anything in the interest of food security and the well-being of people who are listening to you now?
Well, Alan, I fully understand people's concerns, and we've got to protect prime agricultural land, we've got to protect the water table, and we've got to ensure that farmers and other landholders get a fair go. And giving the farmers a fair go starts by allowing them to say no. If that's what they don't want on their land, they should have the right to say no.
But the Mining Act allows, the Mining Act allows the person with the licence to actually enter that property, and if not, go to the courts. The average farmer doesn't have the power or the money to go to courts to fight these things. Surely it's not a matter of saying no. It's a matter of the pub test where you go out and say, hang on, there are vineyards everywhere there. There is soil over there that you can almost eat. You go up to the Manning River and there's beautiful agricultural land. Hang on, no one is going to be mining here. Can't a leader say that?
Yeah, but you'd have to have a word with Barry O'Farrell, because he looks like allowing Gloucester to go ahead, doesn't
absolutely.
He? Like, and it's the states that are a lot of the problem here. What do you do about them, Tony? Because they're not easy to deal with. Even if they are Liberals like yourself.
Yeah. And look, to their credit, both Campbell Newman and Barry O'Farrell have been much tougher on this than the previous state Labor governments, which virtually had open slather.
It's wet lettuce stuff, Tony. It's wet lettuce.
And to his credit, Colin Barnett in Western Australia has simply banned this kind of thing in the Margaret River Vineyard. So
why can't O'Farrell do that? Why can't you see? You said in the Parliament on the 21st of March that the reason this is legitimate, and McFarlane, your shadow minister, has said this, the reason this is legitimate is we're running out of gas. Now, I don't know who's manufactured that story. Martin Ferguson said about 2 months ago, quote, Australia has identified gas reserves that could keep up the rate of current production for nearly two centuries. We're not running out of gas. We're just exporting it all to China and India. We don't need the reserves at Gloucester. We don't need the reserves in the Southern Highlands. Can't you do what Colin Barnett is doing?
Well, in the end, as Graham has just pointed out, Alan, the legal responsibility for this is fundamentally with the states. But we want to work with the states to ensure that we don't extract coal seam gas in ways which is damaging to the environment or disrespectful to the legitimate rights of landholders.
Yeah, but you do have the corporation's power. And that does, in the end, if you ever want to use it, give you enormous power over the states. It's a big stick to wield, I know, but on an issue like this, maybe it's worth having a crack.
And look, that's a fair point, Graham. As my good friend Bill Heffernan says, when you are driving in fog, you slow down and you turn the headlights on, and that's the appropriate
response. Right. Well, we're not turning the headlights
on. Like this.
Tony, just one figure for you and for the benefit of viewers. I note that there are 437 million hectares in Australia, covered by coal and coal seam gas licences or applications. That's 18 times the size of Great Britain. Now, surely to God, someone's got to put a full stop in somewhere and say, well, there are certain areas where you don't go.
And this is what Campbell Newman has done in strategically significant farmland in Queensland. And I'd certainly encourage the state governments to take a similar approach to what Campbell Newman has taken.
But isn't it the same with foreign ownership? Why is a foreign outfit, China for example, prevented from buying 34 homes in Vaucluse, but they can buy 34 farms in Western Victoria?
Well, that's a very fair point, Alan, and that's why one of the things that we've already proposed is that we should have a public register of foreign agricultural land holdings and foreign agribusiness holdings. We've proposed that there should be a significantly lower threshold for Foreign Investment Review Board consideration of these purchases. And we've also proposed a beefed up FIRB with some farmer representation on it so that people actually understand what is happening to the economies and the communities of regional Australia.
Well, I hope that means that you actually do something, though. One of the problems with both Labor and Liberal governments on this is everyone talks about it. Very few people do anything about it. Tony, can I just turn you to one other thing?
In fairness to the former Howard government, we did stop the Shell takeover of Woodside. All of the economists said, no, you shouldn't do it. We said, look, if Shell take over Woodside's assets, they'll end up parking those assets and develop other assets which are more favourable to their commercial interests. We said no. Woodside is an Australian company. These are Australian assets and they should be developed for the benefit of Australians.
But Tony, you've got Cubby Station now owned by the Chinese, and we've got the ridiculous spectacle of Australians having to buy back their own water. $47 million of taxpayers' money going to be spent to buy water from the Chinese who own Cubby Station when that water in fact is ours. I mean, it doesn't get more ridiculous than that, does it?
And this is an issue which the current government certainly should be out there defending, because in the end, you've got Foreign Investment Review Board advice, and then you've got a treasurer's decision.
Okay, speaking of treasurer and treasury, I just want to turn us on to something different. Now, you've been pretty critical of Treasury, of their estimates, of the kind of figures they've been coming up with. You won't give your own costings to them because you fear that they'll leak it, because they have in the past. So the relationship isn't too flash. What happens with someone like Michael Parkinson? Do you keep him or not?
Look, I'm not going to get ahead of ourselves, Graham, and talk about who may or may
not
be in particular position. Should we
have a go?
Direction? Look, he's a very senior Treasury officer. I believe him to be a professional public servant. I suspect he's currently wrestling with a treasurer who may well want to cook the books yet again. In fact, I am sure does want to cook the books yet again. And the last thing I want to do is compromise the professionalism and the independence of the Australian public service at a difficult time.
Yeah, but
in
just
its
a
life.
Minute. You look at the mining tax, and they predict billions. And they get two bob. At some point, don't you have to draw a line under that and say, Treasury's not performing well enough? If I'm going to be the Prime Minister and I'm going to run this show, I want a Treasury that actually talks to business enough to know what's happening in the real economy, which seems to be the biggest problem the Treasury has.
It may well be that the government is ignoring the advice of Treasury. You can't imagine a sensible Treasury head allowing this debt spiral to occur. It may well be that Wayne Swan and his private office are just ignoring advice that's given. You won't know that, Tony, until you get there, will you?
Well, that's absolutely right, but I have little doubt that the Treasury would be attempting, as best it can, to be giving proper professional advice to the government. I have very strong suspicions, knowing this government's form, that advice would in many instances not be accepted, and in some cases the information... accepted, And in some cases, the information from the Treasury would no doubt be reworked in the Treasurer's office. And that's one of the reasons why Joe Hockey and I are saying, please, we need, above all else, an honest budget just for once, because we haven't had honest budgets over the last 4 years.
But if you're going to be honest, can I just say this? If you're going to be honest, you're talking about cutting...
Not only is the mining tax collecting no revenue, but if this government lasts and the carbon tax stays in, you'll have $4 billion plus hole in carbon tax revenue, given the European price that our carbon tax will be linked to from 2015.
Yeah. Well, we have to leave it in a second. I just want to try and get one more question in, if I can. I wanted to just take you to this area of superannuation that's creating such a fuss at the moment.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with superannuation? Anything at all, or do you leave it alone?
Well, again, do no harm is our first rule. We would like to reverse some of the adverse changes that this government has made, but we can't fix all the problems created by bad government overnight or even in one term, Graham. But what we do give is an absolute categoric assurance that there will be no unexpected adverse changes to superannuation under the coalition. Meanwhile, from the government, you've got this obvious plan to raid people's savings to fund their spending. And this is just outrageous. It's certainly contrary to the kind of Labor Party principles that we saw from Bob Hawke and even from Paul Keating.
Yeah, Bill Keldy doesn't seem to like it much either, or Simon Crean or Martin Ferguson, so you're not alone. Martin Ferguson, I might say, was pretty strong on this. But, Tony, I want to thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program, and I hope we can have you on again soon.
Well, look, Graham, it's a pleasure to be with you. It's good to see you've got such excellent company.
I'm slumming it tonight.
Stood up for Labor values, but I think that... this government has abandoned the sort of Labor values which people like yourself thought the party stood for in times past.
Yeah, these days you've got to try and find what a Labor value is. Tony, thanks very much.